Carol. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of the RevOps and ABM Alignment. I'm here with Carol Chen. But actually, I leave it to you, Carol. Like, give us an introduction of with who we have the pleasure to geek out today about RevOps.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So I'm Carol Chen. I'm the VP of Revenue Operations at Flywire. I've been there a little over 2 years, but really been in revenue operations for probably the last 10 years. I started in sales operations even before it was coined as a real position, a real role. Before back then, it was, you know, a mix of combination of words like business operations, just general operations. But so I've been in it a good 10 years. And I'm really excited here to talk about RevOps today to the team as and answer any questions that you guys have.
Great, thanks. Just for you guys to know, Carol is VP of Revenue Operations at Flywire. She worked previously in WeWork and in dozen of other organizations. So if you check her LinkedIn profile, you will be amazed. But I would like to go back and scroll down here, and I see that you started in finance. So how you end up from finance to RevOps, and is there any connection there?
I would say that, you know, when you go to school, you also don't have like majors like RevOps. So I chose a very generic and broad a topic like economics. And so after I graduated, I wanted to be in the finance industry. So I found a great job with one of the largest financial data vendors, Thomson Reuters. Mm. And that's just started it. And then I went from vendor to vendor. So Thomson Reuters to FactSet, and then to S&P Capital IQ. And it's really at S&P Capital IQ that I started seeing this new role appear as like where the business really needed to understand how it's doing, how we're forecasting revenue, how we can use tools like Salesforce to really understand what we're doing, how we're doing, and how to pull different data sets together to, you know, see risk and things like that. So I would say, even though I was in the finance industry at S&P Capital IQ, it was that role that really helped me understand what it was to really try to start in a role like sales operations. Because at the time, S&P Capital IQ was actually buying Salesforce to roll out for its entire organization, which was like over 3,000 users at the time I was there. So that's when I got my first taste, I would say, of Salesforce and all that do, and I just wanted to do more. So after S&P Capital IQ, I chose a really small startup called Axial, and I was head of sales operations or operations manager at the time. And that's when really I started building out what really is sales operations. So understanding how quotas are assigned for sales rep, aligning territories to quotas, figuring how lead optimization should go, like how do we route the leads? What are great quality leads? Then starting to understand like what data we wanted to capture in Salesforce. So that gave me, because I was the sole person on it, that gave me like all the views of being a sales operations person in that role. So I was really glad to be able to, see different facets of how, what is the need for each of the different businesses.
Yeah, I also have this impression that initially it was sales ops and then it transformed somehow in RevOps. Even though we as marketeers, we don't want to admit that, it was first sales. But I'm just wondering, like, because you have much bigger experience than me in RevOps, when did the whole shift from sales ops started to go to RevOps, and why do you remember that?
Yeah, probably say maybe five, 7 years ago. I think there's a whole general shift, right? And I don't think it started with sales ops going to rev ops. I think it started from when heads of sales would become chief revenue officers, so CROs, right? And so chief revenue officers now are looking at the end-to-end cycle of understanding how revenue flows, right? What's happening before it becomes an opportunity, what's happening during the opportunity, and what happens after they become a client managing that existing revenue book of business. So I think as those roles have changed, right, having one person look over all of the revenue cycle, this role has changed to adopt to support that role better. So these sales ops roles that were usually focused just on the sales process now have also expanded to rev ops to align with the CRO to support more of a end-to-end function, right? So I'm looking now at like, you know, how much are we spending in marketing and what's the ROI? How do we get higher ROI? And then also towards the end, right, after they sign with us, making sure that the clients of ours are transacting with us and we're hitting the expectations we did when we signed the client. So I think that shift has happened like 5 to 7 years ago, but it's now becoming more and more popular as I think the like LinkedIn has a stat like RevOps is now a more popular title than sales ops. And so is the other one, right? CSO to CRO.
Yeah, so basically in a if we would look at the hierarchy, then the RevOps would be somehow under CRO, right?
They could be under a few different functions. I've had different reporting lines. I've reported into finance, the CFO. I've reported to the president, reporting now to the chief marketing officer. Also, many cases of reporting into, like you said, the CRO. So it depends. I think it's how the organization is set up that really determines where the role fits.
Okay, so like from your experience, let's do an exercise here. When to implement RevOps? This is the biggest question that people have. Like some say, oh, I'm too small of an organization to even start thinking about it. So I need to have like what should I look at? Should I look at ARR? Should I look at how many sales reps do I have? Because maybe I don't have the ARR yet. I want to have the ARR with the sales reps, right? Or the motions. Should I look at the revenue? Should I look at what's that indicator? Or what are those variables that tell me, okay, so now it might be a good time where you need to think of at least one person to start building the RevOps team.
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually get that all the time too. So not surprised you get it too. I think you know, the one of the things I think about is you know, what is the scale that you're growing at and where do you want to be? I think that, you know, RevOps has many different ways to start. You know, is it do you hire one person and what level it is and what's the different role that they do? Because, you know, just to give a little background for RevOps that I've managed, I have like five different functions. I have just the go-to-market operations, which is like supporting sales operation functions traditionally. And then I have all the insights and analytics. I have tools. So every sales and marketing tool that we use sits under me. And then I have sales enablement and then also sales compensation. So, you know, when you think about like when to start, I think, you know, when you have a few reps, like even a handful, it's time to start because you want someone to manage your Salesforce instance. Because if you don't, and then it's garbage in, then it's garbage out, right? Or you don't get the fields you're actually trying to track, right? So then you don't understand how the business can grow better. What's your ideal customer profile, right? Or what's your win rates? Or why are you losing deals? Why are you winning deals? So I think, you know, the earliest I would say, you know, you should start thinking about it is when you have a few reps and you have a Salesforce instance or another CRM instance to manage because you want to start collecting that data to understand the business better. And then, you know, and then you slowly build out the other functions as the business grows, right? And then you can decide when you actually need like a real function within RevOps as it's carved out as its own function, as opposed to, you know, a Salesforce admin can sit under anyone for the time being as businesses scale.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about sales enablement, and I started to think, okay, so we build this team, but what should be first? Like, I know it's a chicken and the egg type of a question, but should I focus on, I don't know, forecasting and making sure that's really in place and my analytics, right? Or should I focus on sales enablement and adoption for those sales reps? Like, what, how would you start? Because, okay, I have the sales reps, I want to build the revenue ops, but what would be like a 101 steps to this whole function?
Yeah. So I think, you know, maybe forecasting isn't one of, I think forecasting can be handled with the sales manager or head of sales. I think they have a good pulse on the forecast. It's just not as probably as data supported, but you know, it's more of like how the deals are doing. They know the insights. So maybe more art than science. I would say like, if you feel like the sales team could need some coaching based on how the product is selling, or you see that, you know, we're falling behind specifically like at product demo or deal negotiation, something like that, then maybe it is a good time to think about something, someone in a sales enablement function, or carving out time to get training either externally from a consultant or, you know, internally if we want, if there's, you know, a superstar salesperson or the sales manager wants to step in. So I would say it's different for each of the businesses. It depends on how, you know, where you're falling short and need that extra extra support.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm asking this because lately I was in a situation where a CEO would ask, okay, I need to figure out my my forecasting so I know if what do I do with my resources, right? So do I hire more or do I stall or do I do layoffs? What do I do? Because a RevOps person, I need a RevOps who can tell me more accurately these things, right? Rather than sales enablement, which is more about the training and the adoption, right? So I need to figure this out. So that's where my question is coming from. And do you think that is it even possible to from forecasting to answer these type of questions to the higher management, or should be the RevOps answering these type of these kind of questions of resource management and you know, where to allocate the money at the end of the day?
I'm super biased, so I'm going to say RevOps 100% of the time. because RevOps will be basically backing it up by facts, right? So like, if you're trying to get to this ARR revenue number and your average sales team or average sales rep does X quota, right? And so you just divide by that headcount to get to that, you know, number. So that's very, you know, that's very formulaic driven. And, you know, if we have the data, we can easily do that. Maybe a head of sales would look at it differently. So I think, you know, again, maybe going back to your question, feeling like still my bet always is let's hire a Salesforce admin at first. Like if that's your first hire, to build out RevOps function, that's the person, especially as you're growing. And then, you know, second is maybe an analytics person just to help you analyze the data and answer these questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you know, how many headcounts, heads do I need for next year? Or what's the pace that we're growing at? Or, you know, based on my current run rate, where will I end? So those are things analytics can do, which is what we do. And then you can see like how the rest of the org is, where the gaps are to just try to fill those in the end. But usually orgs that are young, that are trying to build out rev functions, they're a lot scrappier. So some people can take on the roles of multiple things. So if you have someone super strong in analytics within the org, maybe then you don't need an analytics person. Because I always mm-hmm. consider, like, as your startup, every dollar is super important on where you invest in. So, you know, sometimes you have to share a lot of roles and wear a lot of different hats.
Yeah, this is where the question comes from, like, where should I invest in? Okay, so I just want to go back to the sales, because you said that the sales would look at the whole forecasting and the resource allocation in a different way. Like, how would they look at it compared to RevOps, in your view?
We pull very formulaically, right? So these are the number of deals, what's our close rate based on stage, right? And we expect this to close, right? Based on obviously data that's in Salesforce, like close date and things like that. Maybe sales leaders would have, obviously they have more insights into the deals than RevOps does. So they might handpick a few deals as opposed to just run it based on how we convert by stage and by close date and by rep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. And the question that many of us have is there a blueprint to RevOps, or is it really like you went to different organizations, different stages in the organization, different industries? Like, can we do a blueprint by stage, or is it more like business model, or is more like industry, or is there any blueprint to RevOps?
I think you can do one by size. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, Axial was a startup, right? So I was one person for all of the RevOps, sales ops needs. Mm-hmm. But we also are doing a lot less of everything, right? So territory planning, sales quotas was like for 5-10 people, right? As opposed to for larger organizations, we're doing it for maybe 100 people, 100 sales reps. So I think there is, based on the size of the org, you have a different blueprint, right? So if you're really small at the startup stage, then you're hiring 1 to 2, and that's pretty much your rep ops team. As you grow, then you would grow up the function. So, you know, on the largest end, I've had 60 people on the team under rep ops. Wow. And, you know, currently So it's also based on how the business is. If you're selling a lot of products, the contracts are super complicated, pricing is difficult, it could require a lot of support from RevOps, like, because all of those teams are probably asking for different things, right? All the sales reps are asking for different things. You have such a large selection of different products to sell from and different pricing. So, and with all of that complicates everything, right? Your Salesforce build out, your compensation plan, your analytics, everything then becomes like one product becomes its own little like path, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but I would say, like, you know, depending on the size you would have of the company is how you would determine the RevOps team. So, like, you know, we're around 300, 400 in general. Mm-hmm. Say like we're around 10 to 10 or so, still growing. So, you know, as you grow the business, you would scale it, but on the smaller end, you know, you can survive with 1 or 2.
And because the big question, I think, that the like Series B companies have is, should I have internal RevOps or should I have an agency, right? Because this is like maybe I just need to fix some things and that's it, or I need to have support from time to time. So how do you see it? Like, when's the best role of an agency in a RevOps, let's say, when does a company need actually an agency versus someone internal? Or is there a hybrid model even? Or how did you see it in the organization where you worked?
Yeah, so I think that in the obviously, if you're super small and you can't afford internal hires, then and you can only, you know, you feel like you only need a few hours a week, then the, you know, outsource contractor slash agency is the best way to go for from a dollar wise.
What is super small for you?
So in my mind, super small is like the 50 million. At the highest end, I would say under 100, but that's like slightly pushing it too. So
in revenue or in employees, you mean?
In revenue.
Revenue, okay.
Yeah. So I think in my mind, I'm thinking, I call it super small because I'm thinking about when to build up revenue operations, how the market might define super small, right? So like when you're like at 50 million in revenue or so, you know, if you can't afford that one or two headcount, and you don't have a lot of needs, or you haven't someone internal that can, you know, do dual roles, then maybe going with an agency is fine. Also, sometimes when you have a big overhaul, like you're rebuilding Salesforce as the instance, or you're implementing CPQ or something like that, then it's also a good time to use an external vendor or agency, because those are one-time projects, right, that need a lot of manpower at the time, but you don't need it going forward after the project is done. But otherwise, I would always encourage to hire internal, because some of the things that I've seen with having external RevOps people is that the turnover on the external side can be high because they're not full time. And so there's a big knowledge gap that you have to fill every time there's turnover. And it's not, if there's turnover, you're always then training them up again. Yeah. And it's a lot of time wasted rather than time spent on really like digging deep to come up with like improvements.
Insights. Got it. And I'm also curious about pre-IPO and post-IPO in terms of dynamics of RevOps, because I have a feeling that people start to push a lot pre-IPO RevOps, right? There is a lot of things that people want to improve and the numbers to be good and really dig in into things. So I just want to validate my assumption with you. Is that the case, or how is it later on in post-IPO? The dynamic changes somehow?
That's totally the case for the companies I've worked with and my experience. So pre-IPO, it's not as, I would say, organized or process-driven, or guidelines are the same. You know, rules can be, let's call it, flexible at times when they're pre-IPO. You know, you might pull a deal in that's signed on the first, or you might do something else. But you know, the time to ramp up to that pre-IPO, processes need to be put in place, validations need to be put in place, approvers for discounts, for changes to opportunities need to be put in place, so that, you know, when you do IPO, that all the numbers are clean, defendable, and auditable, because you will be, right? So there is a big change. There is a big ramp up to get there as well. And there's definitely a difference between pre and post.
I mean, the stakeholders change a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. I think Winning by Design was talking a lot about this growth at all costs, and this happens pre-IPO, right? So that's why maybe retention was not that of an importance before this so uncertain times. Like a lot of companies are pumping into growth and new customer acquisition. How do you see this change of dynamics with the economical shift that it's happening, right? From the growth at all costs, right, to more of a retention. Do you guys feel it, like, with your peers? How do you see the dynamics nowadays with all this uncertainty in the economy and after the layoffs, the tech layoffs, which were, I don't know, last year, right?
Yeah, I think definitely everyone is taking a more of a focus on the existing business, right? The existing business is, I'd say, from a cost basis, easier to keep than the cost it is to sign new business, right? So you always want to make sure the existing business has a focus and has a high retention rate, because if you keep signing new business but your accounts keep canceling, then you're never growing, right? It comes in at the top of the funnel and then leaks out at the end. Right? So you have like a leaky bucket. So it is important to retain current clients. And I think people are taking a bigger focus in that, like, you know, now there's a shift in the mindset of in the past, they were like account managers, just more reactive to the business, to the client and what their needs were. But now there's a focus even in terminology of the role, right? Customer success, right? Because they want you to be the client to be as successful as possible using the product or service that they're providing. So I think there is a mind shift of, you know, how can we maintain and grow the existing base, and who is that, what is that role profile to support that kind of difference in the original, where we're just reactive versus now we're proactive in maintaining and growing business.
Yeah, and I think RevOps is also more focused on the right side of the bow tie, right? Like where Right. You have the existing companies.
I think that goes back to how, sorry. I think that goes back to how, like, the shift of changing from CSO, right, to CRO, because now someone is also looking at the revenue after the business signs that client up, right? So a full lens on the full cycle.
Okay. Interesting. And I think in the future we will see maybe RevOps reporting to the customer success managers, right? Like to more of a right side of the bow tie.
Well, usually RevOps is reporting to whoever's running revenue, or, you know, other, I would call, more neutral functions like finance or marketing or the president, because we are running all of the numbers. And usually for me, at least, I have commission and compensation under me. So there's a slight problem if you're managing compensation and your manager, the CRO, is being paid off commissions, right? There's a little issue where someone reporting to you is managing your compensation. So it depends. Yeah. I think that definitely the focus for RevOps is the whole everything, right? Before it becomes an opportunity, even before it becomes a lead, to after they're a client and how their client health is.
Yeah, and I must ask a bit about the tools. I'm not interested in which tools you guys use. I'm just interested which side of the bow tie is supporting. Like what I again to validate some of my suppositions, I believe that there is some kind of shift in trying to unify these tools. So one tool doing more things than just buying a tool for one single task, right? And looking more into the actual ROI and use case of those tools. It's not like we didn't look at that in the past, but I have a feeling that there is more emphasis on the actual financial benefits of those particular tools, right? Than productivity. I don't know, in the past, because we SaaS companies were selling this idea of productivity, but now I have this feeling that first is revenue, right? And ROI, then the productivity. So how do you see the dynamics of overall being pitched with tools or the shift? Because the market changed, right? In terms of, you know, now focusing more on the keeping the customer, the retention. And I suppose that the pitch of the SaaS companies also changed when they come with tools. So how does this reflect to you?
I think what you're hearing, what you're seeing is, you know, true. I have seen that. I am seeing that. So, for example, you know, when we are looking at tools, we want to make sure that people are using it. So, you know, the sales and marketing tools, all of those tools, that budget sits within RevOps, at least for the RevOps that I've managed to ensure that there is ROI, because buying a tool, there's a lot of, let's call it excitement when you get a tool, right?
Yeah, of course.
So we need this for XYZ. And if we don't have that, then we can't do all of this, right? So you move forward by the tool and then it sort of dies down. So I think that's common everywhere. And so, you know, we want to make sure people are actually using it. So if we don't use it, then we should get rid of it or buy a tool that actually does what is the problem that you were originally trying to solve that maybe this tool doesn't support, right? And I do see that they're trying to combine, you know, more tools into maybe one tool or two tools that you have, because it's less management on oversight for us, for RevOps, because every one tool you buy goes through, at least for public companies, the, you know, security and legal. And then from our level of effort comes from like, okay, implementation, adoption, onboarding, training, then watching adoption, right? And so it's a lot. So if one tool can do more, we're always more happy to you know, do that. It decreases the amount of work for many departments within a company. And then we can actually try to ensure like better usage on that, as opposed to like you have all these different scatter tools and then you're trying to figure out like who's using what, when are they using it for, and you know, what is the real ROI on them. So totally agree, like there is a movement towards, like at least what I've seen is having one tool do more things and then also ensuring ROI is met on the tools.
Yeah, and before we end, I just want to ask you, what are we missing in RevOps, like in your view?
What are we missing?
I think tools, RevOps, people, adoption, whatever, behaviors, skills, you name it.
Yeah, I think RevOps is built differently in each organization. So hard for me to say a general statement for all of RevOps, but I think one of the things that I see, at least from my experiences, is that you know, the investment in people in RevOps is a really good one, because it actually returns multiple back to the business. So like, yes, RevOps is a cost function within the org, but really the return is so much more. So like, you know, I would encourage people not to be afraid to start a RevOps function or to make mm-hmm. that first account, because I always hear when to start. Oh, and I started too late, as opposed to, oh, I started too early. I shouldn't have started. Mm-hmm. Like, it never mm-hmm. goes that way. So, words of encouragement for people. Like, if you're thinking about starting RevOps, I'm guessing you're probably at the right time to start it. So don't be afraid to start that investment.
Yeah. And I think even if, because the podcast is also about, you know, aligning RevOps with ABM, like, I didn't see good ABM without RevOps. So I believe that having, because it's all about alignment, right? Like marketing, sales, customer success alignment, like ABM as a core does that. I mean, you need to align the teams to go after a particular account, right? And you have the same with RevOps. Like you look at the full buying journey. So you are in the center of aligning the teams, right? Like you need to align those teams towards revenue, and in this case, with ABM to close that that particular account. So, is this a fair characterization of RevOps and ABM alignment, or how do you see it?
Yeah, I think so, because all the, you know, everything that RevOps has, like marketing operations, sales operations, customer success operations, like all of that is to support sales and their strategy for moving forward. And the execution is done through RevOps. So, you know, I think they align very well together. And with the RevOps team in place, you can, you know, run, let's say, this campaign, or, you know, run this test, or, you know, change the strategy, or whatever, you know, you think is best for the business. But like RevOps would then take your strategy, actually put it out, put it into, you know, action items for all of the organizations to operationalize it and see it through to then, you know, measure output. So I'm 100% aligned.
Yeah. So when you run ABM programs, you guys, how's the relationship? Like, is there an ABM team and then they require your help and your support, or you are part of their, let's say, program or team, or what's the dynamics between ABM and RevOps from your, like, actually running the programs?
Yeah, so we have, you know, marketing leaders focused on all the verticals we have. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. the four verticals we're focused on, they're like industries, like education, healthcare, and travel, and B2B. And so we have marketing leaders that support each one of them. And so mm-hmm. the strategy is discussed between the marketing leads and the GMs who run that vertical. And then mm-hmm. whatever the discussion is, then we, from marketing operations, then would try to fulfill it in either like building out campaigns or helping them run events, things like that. So, you know, really align together, because all of marketing rolls into one, and so does RevOps. So, you know, mm-hmm. everyone is aligned to drive the same goals, right? We're trying to build pipeline and try to get deals close on one that marketing can help support.
Okay, so I imagine it like some kind of squads per verticals, right? Like some exactly. teams, and then you have also RevOps people in those squads that later on support those particular strategies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think this type of setup where you don't have silos anymore, but you have these squads, and then you have sales, marketing, RevOps, even account managers in one team working on one vertical, is, and then you report on one metric, meaning the revenue at the end of the day, right? Yeah. And everybody is transparent.
Yeah, we're all aligned, right? we're trying to drive pipeline, and we're trying to get to a closed ARR revenue.
Nevertheless, what I see and feel that there is some politics also in some organizations, right? That and that's why some companies want to have the silos, right? I suppose because of the KPIs, because if you don't have a very good RevOps in place, you don't have the visibility of the KPIs. So then it's really hard for me as a marketer to take responsibility of revenue, because you as salesperson, you don't know how to close the deals, let's say, right? Like, it can happen, this kind of conflicts where you don't have alignment because you don't have the visibility, you don't have the KPIs, maybe you use different tools. So the thinking would be, why should I bring you the MQLs, you didn't convert them, so why should I take the responsibility of revenue, right? Like, I suppose that this is something that you saw or you heard or is valid, why people don't why they need the RevOps to, and what RevOps could solve, right?
Yeah, I do see it in organizations where they're a little bit more siloed, and they have different goals. But if you have the same goal and everyone is aligned and we're reporting on that goal, like, you know, at a normal cadence, so for us it's like monthly, then it becomes less of a conflict, but more of a, let's work together to get to this number.
Yeah. I think it's management matters a lot. So it comes from having the same goals from management, coming downward, right, to the organization. It's a vision. Yeah. I saw a meme like, don't work for a CEO who doesn't understand RevOps, which makes sense, right?
Maybe. And it, or the more you can educate them, then the more they rely on RevOps, right? Because I really do think it's like a very powerful function for any organization who's looking to scale.
Yeah. So with that, Carol, where before we end, where can people find you, and what are some resources where you get inspiration on RevOps?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. And as we mentioned both in the earlier intro, I'm at flywire.com. And I think, you know, where I get my inspiration, I don't know that there's maybe one specific source, but I look up a lot of topics, try to keep up on upcoming trends or thoughts that are happening, just to, you know, keep myself aware of like new tools that are coming, new issues that are popping up, or new trends that are happening. So I don't know that there's one specific.
I think there are communities, they start to pop up, different communities like school and others, right?
Yeah, there's a lot.
I suppose you need to be in the community that has, that is at the same growth stage that you are in, right? Because then you can learn a lot from same peers.
I'm not sure that it has to be the same size. Because, you know, different size of company could have the same issue as you. It just depends, right? So like, you know, for example, headcount is always a question that comes up. How should you hire more? It's the same calculation, I would say, for like, you know, a small startup versus size, because they're still, in my mind, we're still running the same math behind it to figure out whether or not it's a good idea and what's the ROI on headcount, right? But other things, maybe it's industry specific or business model dependent.
And that's a good insight, that size not necessarily is that important, but the industry makes sense. Thanks a lot, Carol, for joining. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a small conversation.
I love talking about this. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.